One of the reasons we love coming down here is you have a wide variety of delicious places to eat. And so up in our cornfields, we have some, but we have to go quite a ways to find it. And so I come down here, and we find these little spots that have unusually good things. And ever since I hit 40, I have found that they changed the rules. Before 40, I could eat anything, anytime, anywhere, and it was fine, and I was just in good shape. And then something happens, and somebody messes with the rules, and now I find... So down here, you don't have this problem, but up in that terrible tundra, in the winter, you put away your shorts. Those all go in the stowaway drawer, and then you wear long pants for 24 months of winter. And then in the spring, you get your shorts out. You're like, all right, let's go. And you get them and you find out that something happened and it's not good. And it doesn't fix itself. I discovered I have a real appreciation for delicious food. Not just any old regular food, like really good food. And that's causing problems in my life. I was running across the job site the other day because rain was coming and I had to get something bedded and secured before it rains or we're going to lose a part of a system we're putting in. And so I'm running and I find things are flopping and shaking that used to be quite tight and firm. And I rebuke them. Help. It did not help. But it felt like maybe it's a start. I'm not just a super, you know, intentional guy about going to the doctor a lot. Went to the doctor recently to check my height and weight and things and whatever. Turns out he said, you are the perfect weight for a guy 7 feet tall, which was very encouraging because it's not my weight that's the problem. I'm just too short. Something happens when you hit 40. I'm 47 now. I've not been 50 as of yet, so I don't know what happens at 50. Everything I've heard so far has not been like just really exciting. I'm not totally pumped about it. Yeah. And then there are more years, and things happen. I want to be diligent to steward what God has given me and go as long as He wants me here. Having said all of that, what was the point of saying that? The point was to say that I have found Rockefeller oysters at Triple Tail, and they are amazing. And my poor Ben here does not know the goodness of the Lord that He hid in the sea, down in the water, for us to discover. And one day, I hope that you will come into the fullness of life and eat these delicious things with me. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Some of the best news that I have for you today is that he who knows the hearts and minds makes intercession for the saints. If you are born again, you are no longer an old sinner that just barely got saved. You are a saint. You are a child of Jesus, a brother of Jesus. You're a child of God. You have been redeemed. He who knows the hearts and minds, do you know that humans are about the only species that have the distinct ability to deceive themselves? We're weird. If you think about it, I can make myself believe anything. So why does this matter? What are you saying? What I'm saying is, think about it. Right now, I'll bet you believe the things that you believe in your life. I'll bet you believe them because you think they're true and that you're right. I don't want to believe things that I deeply feel are false. That would just be really dumb. Why would you believe something on purpose that is not true? But humans are weird like that. We have this ability to have a rational use of our own mind, our personal processor, and we can do that, but we also have capacities to be influenced spiritually by the Holy Spirit and by nefarious evil spirits. And when you are under the influence of a spirit, you have a distinct opportunity to agree with what is being influenced into your life. You hear what I'm saying? Is you can come up with your own thoughts. You can produce your own mechanical way of thinking, and you can look at factual things. Numbers. Numbers don't lie. People lie. Numbers don't. If you want to figure out an equation, you crunch them with math, and math just doesn't lie. It comes out correct if you crunch the numbers correctly. It's always going to tell you the truth. People are fickle. You ask them one thing, and from one source you will get A, B, C, and from another one you will get A, B, and F. Now, A and B, they match up, but something is off. And how are you going to know which one is correct? How are you going to know? Because it matters. The truth matters. And generally, we gravitate to believe the things that are closest to what we already believe. Was that me? We gravitate toward the things we already believe, and we want to reinforce what I believe because I want to make sure that I'm believing what is right, and I will naturally harvest information, and I will bring things into my mind that already agree and support what I believe. If I am right or if I am wrong, that is the natural way that people are. We want to support and build up and shore up what we already believe. I don't think a goldfish can deceive himself. Those are some dumb little things. You bump into the glass. All they do all day long, they're just dumb little creatures. I don't think there's anybody home. Like, not much goes on there. We raise some cattle. And some of them sometimes seem like maybe there's a brain and they're sort of, you know, they're okay. And then some, you'll get this one that is just a, I don't know what happens. The wires aren't hooked up. Something's wrong, and they're just dumb. And I watch them do crazy things. Those animals typically are not having to war through spiritual influences to make a decision. They look at a new gate, or they look at the trailer you're trying to load them on, and they look at it, and they're like, yeah, it's new. I don't like it. I don't think I should. Probably not. And then most of the time, you just work with them and off they go. But sometimes one is like, that ain't happening. That's not my future and I'm not going there. And you would think the devil personally inhabited them. And they're just like, what is happening? But most of the time, they're just pretty much basic creatures. And they're not having to wrestle through. Is this my own thought? Or is this the devil? Or is this the Lord? They're just really basic creatures. Humans, however, we are very distinctly different. And we have this realm that is so precious. And it is a gift from God for us to be able to have influence from Him. And how I wish there was no influence of darkness or the devil, but there is. There is a constant realm of influence pressing in and weighing into the heart of man. Both of those influences have a purpose and they have an agenda. Man, outside of connection with and fullness of the Holy Spirit is pretty much a useless individual. A useless lost cause. Humanity outside of oneness with Christ is a useless detriment. It is at its core fueled from the demonic. And I know this gets into the weeds. I'm not trying to get there. I'm saying look at the natural course of a debased human. They follow the trends of their own desires, their own lusts of their own heart, and it will lead them not immediately into detriment or into just terrible, crazy things, but it will draw them slowly, by agreement with influence, into darkness and depravity and selfishness, which is all from the kingdom of darkness. So without the influence of the Holy Spirit, without the influence and the stability of the truth being decided and being integrated into our lives, we are susceptible to the influence of evil. So what happens when you get born again? Everything's going to be awesome. Now my life is amazing. I said yes to Jesus and it's all going to be wonderful. And you're a child of the Most High. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And everything's going to be good. And kumbaya, in the sweet by and by, it is awesome. And then you live a little life. And then it's not awesome. And you're like, what happened to this? I thought that being a Christian was going to be great. It's the greatest thing. They told me it's the greatest thing ever is that you can be born again. And now what? Now I have not only problems, I have seemingly more problems than I would have had had I just been living my life and minding my own business. Where do you think that thought comes from? Your enemy is trying to defile your faith. Your faith was pure when you placed it in Christ. And it's such a precious thing. And there is oneness with the Lord. And it's like, oh, this is amazing. And you find that fountain of life. And you believe. And then come the arrows that war against your faith. And sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of spiritual antagonistic warfare, and you're having to weigh out, wait a minute, is that me? Do I think these things? It sure doesn't seem like the Lord, and it's not quite evil enough to sound like the devil. You don't understand what I'm saying? Like, you'll find yourself in a place of having to navigate through your thoughts. What is God? What is me? And what is my enemy? And there can be seasons where the fog sets in. And if you focus on that, you will find yourself destitute of prayer because you're caught up in your own world of emotions. And it wears you out. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know when you don't know how to pray or what to pray, or it's going to be totally just jarble when it comes out? That if you are born again, Jesus Christ himself is praying for you to the Father. And he knows exactly the condition of your heart. He knows exactly that even though you're in turmoil or even though you're under duress and there's stress and all kinds of things in your life, he sees the heart and he knows exactly that one is mine and I am praying to the Father for this one because he belongs to me. That is some of the best news I can give you. Because if it's up to me to walk myself through this life and pray everything right and get it all right, I don't even know what to pray sometimes. I'll just tell you, life is a difficult thing. There are times that I go, okay, Lord, what are you even thinking here? I did not ask to be leading this ministry. I didn't ask to be doing this. And now, here I am. I am somewhat a prisoner in my own life. What do you want me to do? Silence. No response, not a word, not a whisper, nothing. Just quiet. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's as if they cut the fiber and there's no connection. It's just quiet. And then you get desperate, like, okay, Lord, I'm now in a season. The clock has ticked far enough. I have to have answers. I need to know what you want from me. It's quiet. I personally despise those seasons. I hate them with everything that is within me. I want to hear what he has to say. And when he's quiet, it aggravates me with a high level of aggravation. It does. I'm telling you just how I am as a man, as a human. It frustrates me because I want to be solely committed and dedicated to you, and I want to know what do you want right now from this guy. Quiet. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what I've discovered? I shouldn't even say it. That sounds really arrogant. Do you know what I am learning tiny piece at a time after piece at a time? Is that he actually knows the will of God. And if I am not able to pray the right thing, which most of the time I'm praying it's some dumb thing, and he's like, you just, Lord, never mind. This is what he means. And he's actually praying on my behalf because I don't even know what to pray or how to pray it. And I believe he is so patient. He's like, I know, we got a real dandy with this one. So just give him some time and just sooner or later, he'll come around and figure it out. Jesus is praying for me. I don't even know what the will of the Father is all the time. I want to know. And when I'm in that season, he's got me. He's got you. We don't always have the next step spelled out. You don't have the next season or the next five-year plan. He doesn't often give all those details, but he's got you. Do you believe that? I mean, you believe it for me? Do you believe it for yourself? I find it easier to believe for somebody else than it is to believe for me. Because I live with me. I walk with me. I have to figure out my life. It's like, okay, oh, the Lord's going to bless. He's going to speak. He's got you covered so well. But for me, I go, ah. And what I've started to do is just remind the Lord. I'll say, you know what? The only reason I'm still talking to you is because I actually believe your word. You said that you're never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. I believe you. I know that you're playing some funny business with me now because you're not speaking. But I believe you are here, and I'm going to keep speaking to you because I trust you. That is the only reason. And every now and then, I hear this little bitty, tiny response. Do you still trust me? I'm like, oh. The only reason I'm still speaking is because I trust you. Yes. Is there something else maybe you'd like to say? And I don't want to be snide and cynical about my boss because he knows what he's doing. But I find these seasons frustrating. Frustrating. One of the most abused verses that Christians love, we love this next verse. We love it so much, we paint it on things and hang it on the wall. Most of the time we paint half of it and we hang half of it on the wall, the good part. And we know that all things work together for good. Stop. Boom. That's all I want on the wall. All things work together for my good. Oh, thank you, Lord. That is a murdering of Scripture. Here's what it says. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Comma. We are not finished. To those who love God, comma. That means we are not finished. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know that about your life? That all things work together for good to those who are to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Here is where we will go. Do you know I'm sure you do. That every life spoken into existence by God was thought of by a brilliant mastermind creator so wild and extravagant in his thoughts that we cannot even begin to scratch the surface of his level of brilliance. He thought of every life and he spoke it. What did that passage say earlier that we were reading? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God did not build things with the sole desire to see it destroyed. Everything he built to give him glory and return glory and bring him glory. And he did an awesome job of it. So if that is the case, if your life and my life was designed to bring him glory, where is the glory and why is it so hard to find sometimes? Why does it feel like this word is somehow true for most people, but in my life, there's sections of this book that don't seem to be speaking about me? Have you ever struggled with that? Be honest. Don't be all hypocrites up in here. Have you ever had questions about the Word of God? If you haven't, then I question your honesty. Or have you ever even read the Word? There are some things in there that I wrestle with and I go, what about that? You know what I am continuing to learn? Everything in the Word of God, that if it's not reflected in my life, if it's not evident in my life, there is not a problem here. There is a problem here. My agreement, what I choose to agree with, is the problem. Back to Moses. How many years walking around? There's only so much you can see in the wilderness. It's a good thing he didn't have 5G on a smartphone because he probably would have missed the burning bush altogether. Yeah, think about it. I think he was done with his season and he was just a little bit, I don't know, complacent, bored. What do you get after 40 years of sitting out with the sand and the rocks? There's just not much going on. And the Lord got his attention because his attention was available. Many times I preach to myself, and if there's any that splashes onto you, you can have it. If my attention is unavailable, what makes me think he's going to bother speaking to me? Remember the old landlines you would call somebody? You got a number wrong, it would go doo-doo-doo, we're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. If you feel you've reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again. You try it again, doo-doo-doo, we're sorry. At some point, you stop calling. If somebody is unavailable, how long do you try to get their attention? How long are you going to keep pursuing somebody who is not available and you have something to convey and relay to them and they are just busy, 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 and then they have missed the party and then they're desperately calling you back saying, what happened, what do you have to say? It's like, well, sorry, bud, the ship has left the port and you are not on it. I believe this very deeply, that it is no accident that the day that we live in is coupled with this level of constant distraction. It is no accident that the day we live in, the push of society has been geared toward, for how long? Convenience and on demand. If you run a company and you do not provide convenience and you're bringing solutions on demand, you are not in business in this country. If I have the option to go and get what I want when I want it immediately, or to wait forever and have lousy service, guess which one I prefer? It's a no-brainer. The ones who satisfy with convenience and immediate response, boom, 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 you get what you want, those are the ones that remain. Have you considered, again, I date myself, I got to watch e-commerce become a thing. It didn't exist when I was born. You can't go online. There was no online. I'm older than the internet. That is amazing. It became a thing, and then stores tried it. Oh, sign up for this dumb program, and you can buy all your stuff 20% off. But you have to go through all this hassle and drama, and then maybe you get the item, and then they rolled it off the truck, and it's half smashed. You're like, awesome. Paid for my membership, all this drama, waited around, and now this broke thing. It's drama. Some of you don't remember that far back. Then you know what happened somewhere between then and now? Scamazon. A guy came along and said, I have to build a platform that is so easy for you to purchase on that you will become addicted to it. Prove me wrong with anything I'm saying. If I say anything untrue, I stand to be corrected. Bezos, never met the guy. I got close to him once. I saw his sailboats and his yacht and all the stuff down in the bay. I was close enough we could have waved and said, how you doing? He didn't recognize me. I don't know why. But we saw his fleet. They created a system of such easy access that the heart of man, that lust for things and gratifying yourself immediately can be satisfied. Oh, if you want premium service, just pay a little extra and we'll have it to you next day. Bam, whatever you want, there it is. I am not anti-convenience. I actually really like convenience. I like having access to things, products, materials, whatever it is. I like having that instantly available. In fact, let me just tell you my gripe with the United States Postal Service. They should take the S off the back. Just United States Postal and call it what it is. Because the service end is actually missing. It's in the name but not the function. I sent a whole case of books down here ahead of me thinking it will be here when I get here and it'll be great. Well, apparently they're in North Carolina right now. Yeah, so we'll see. And apparently they don't work tomorrow. So I don't know. I don't know when I've gone home. I guess there'll be a box down here. Hallelujah. United States Postal. I like service. I like when things actually work and flow well and you have what you want when you want it. It's very convenient. And we have become geared that way. Like in the region that I live, we have factories that produce these ridiculous RVs by the thousands every week. Bam, bam, bam. And it is production, production. You either get in line and get with it or get out of the way, you're going to get run over. These people are monkeys, and it is about pushing product out the door, boom, 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 like a machine, and it has to be right now. And that mentality has crept into the entire local culture. Give me what I want right now, and if you don't have it right now, forget you, I'll get somebody else. Like, it is a terrible thing that's happened to our society. That mindset is not good. But it's become the culture. Here comes a guy that satisfies, fixes a problem. You can have what you want when you want it. 24/7. Couple clicks, boom, boom, here it comes. Pow. I'm not telling you Amazon is the Antichrist. What I'll tell you is that the way our world has shifted. Amazon has been the big leader. You have Jumia, you have Temu, you have all these other little knockoffs trying to duplicate what they have done. At some point, when you have created this size monster economically, you are going to crush out your local mom-and-pop's establishments. I've watched it happen with lumber yards ever since a kid. Every little town had a lumber yard. You go get your stuff, and it was a great little community thing, and all of a sudden here comes Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's. Stamps out the little guy. Boom, 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 monopolizes. I watched it with the trucking industry. So many small companies, they get overregulated because of big shots that are doing things, and they bring in the big boys, and they consolidate, and it is really something to watch. The systems that have been put in place instead of people. Why am I saying all this? Just hang on for a second. Look what's happened in these different sectors. Look at farming. We used to have a ton of smaller dairy farms around, anything from 30 to 80 cows, and they could raise their family on that, and it was great. Now, if you're not at 750, you're a small dairy if you're at 750, and you're barely going to make it. There's all of these wiping out of the small guy and consolidating, and the big guys are getting bigger or you don't make it. There's so many different areas that this stuff has been happening and happening, and it comes down to removing people and implementing systems. I'm bringing this up because it's very It is going to impact every one of our lives and our children's lives. There is no way to escape from this further development of systems. It's in place. It is happening. Look what's happened with currency, cash currency. You used to be able to go right into the airport, shell off a couple hundreds, and get yourself a paper ticket, and on the plane, and off you go. Those days are over. They've been pushing to go cashless. Everywhere. It's the cool thing. Oh, no, just get the app. The app is so easy. It's so awesome. The only problem I have with it is that you have nothing. If there's a glitch in your service, you have absolutely nothing. If you have cash in your hand, you have something. If you need to wipe your nose, you at least have something. The big push has become e-commerce and digital currency. Leave that all sit for a second and consider. Now we're going way down the rabbit hole over here. Media voices that have tremendous influence, millions of followers that 3 years ago were speaking sense, they were talking truth, they presented values that our nation and our country was built on, they were talking the truth 3 years ago, are now talking propaganda and disgusting filth, and have gone on a vile mission. They have gathered their followers by the millions and now have shifted into an anti-Israel rhetoric, and they have been poisoning millions of minds with fake news left and right, and painting Israel as being this demonic thing. Why does that even matter? Probably we should get into a written paper copy of the Word of God and actually see what his opinion is and see what he says, because what God says is going to happen. Not what we all agree or think. I don't care if the whole world agrees one thing and we are obstinate and we turn our back on God and say, we're not doing that. What God says, that's what happens. And we have so, as a society, lost a holy fear. We have lost a reverence. We have lost a respect for the living God in such a way that now people are grabbing for anything that would fill that mess in their head that they're looking for answers and they're grabbing for truth and they want something to agree with what they believe. And they will follow this influencer and follow this person and go get their therapies and their counsel and try to just fill that burning void instead of going right to the source of the truth and filling their life with truth. They are looking to these other crazy voices. What God says about Israel matters. That's what's going to happen. Okay, if you throw me out of here and I never am welcome back, what you need to hear is that what God says is going to happen. At the end of the day, what God says is going to happen, not anybody else's opinion. So all of this influence and this twisting of truth and this propaganda and these things have been shifting, 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 shifting. Meanwhile, stuff they're doing with currency, they're doing all kinds of wild things. And here is a danger that I see. The generation older than me, I have watched fall really hard into some of these traps and these vices when it comes to technology and how they have been scammed by artificial intelligence. I have watched people in my generation get scammed by this stuff, and I've watched people in my children's generation get scammed by this stuff. So I'm not throwing rocks at anybody that falls into this stuff. It is easy to be tricked into things. I am not about shaming anybody. What I'll just tell you, I have walked through and lived through enough things now to recognize some of the tactics that the enemy uses. There is artificial intelligence. It's just basic information. It's all kinds of information. Then there's artificial superintelligence. It's a completely different thing. And I've thought for years, even when I was a kid, I thought, wouldn't it be great if the knowledge of my grandfather could have been kept, given to my dad, and he could give me all of that, I would be 3 times smarter than anybody else my age. That just makes sense, doesn't it? You would have all of this wisdom before you ever have to learn it, and you don't have to walk through these hard things to grow and to learn it. You would just have it. I think it's a great idea. Because you wouldn't have to relearn the same things that they had to learn. And you would be so much further ahead. Artificial intelligence is almost like round 2 or round 3 of what has happened at the Tower of Babel, where people have collectively come together and agreed on a thing. There is such a collection of information. There is a host of information. That's why we need data centers all over the place, is to house these things. How does that affect me as a Christian? And how does that affect my family? And how does that affect you and your children? How is this? Why is it even a thing? We have to address this stuff in the church because it's relevant for today. And if we do not understand it, we will be owned by it and we will fall for it. I don't think that it is at its function. The collection of information, I don't think that's evil. All truth is God's truth. And so if you have a bunch of it, it's all God's. The problem is it is run by people with nefarious intentions. The person now who controls the keys will control the world. And this, again, please don't get into fear about this stuff. I'm just telling you some things that I see and that I believe are important for us to get some handle on. And I don't profess to have the whole answer. I'm learning things all the time. I don't have it all figured out, but I see a few things. One of those is whoever runs the keyboard is going to run the world. They have done that now and proven that through influence. Everybody wants to be an influencer. It's kind of funny to me to watch people pop up all over the place, and everybody wants to be the next big thing. Like, oh, I'm going to do an unboxing. Watch this. I got this brand new hair dryer, everybody. So let's just get into this. And they sit down and they cut open the box. What makes you think I want to watch you open a hair dryer? What a waste of time. 5 hours and 19 minutes a day. People are watching somebody else pull a hair dryer out of a box. And other crazy things. Influence. Influence, influence, influence. The big craze and the big goal and the big drive to be an influencer. I think people don't have any idea the level of responsibility that comes with influence. If you have influence into somebody's life and you are misleading them, remember what we talked about this morning? If I one of the heaviest things that I carry as a pastor and as any kind of influencer, as small as that may be, is an awareness that if I put my life in the weeds, if I mess up my life, I answer for that and I take that very seriously. But man, what if I mislead somebody else? What if I put their life in the ditch by teaching them crazy things that are not true? Like, that is a very serious thing to me. And what I see is this grab for influence, this grab for power. It comes down to a complete misunderstanding that influence is actually a responsibility. The influence that I have is my responsibility. It is, in many cases, something that people are grabbing for because if they want to feel that thing of greatness and being affirmed and all that stuff. I don't need 20,000 likes a day for me to know that Jesus loves me. I've had some very hateful things said right to me. I mean hateful people cursing me right to hell. When I released this book on heaven, people are nasty and vile. And it's like, I have done you exactly zero wrong. I have not harmed you in any way. They came across my post and immediately, like, bleepty, bleepty, bleep. I'm like, what got into your biscuit? I haven't hurt you. And at first I was like, seriously? And then I read some things in the Word. It says, blessed are you when men revile you, hate you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Not for, doesn't matter. If you don't like me, say whatever you want. But if you're persecuting me for the sake of Christ, you have big problems coming your way. My job is to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and it doesn't feel like that's a natural response when those things are coming at you. So I've recognized influence and platform and all that stuff. That is not what it's cracked up to be. That is not the pinnacle of life. The higher you are, the more visible you are, the more garbage you receive. And it's tough. We need to have an awareness of what our leaders are going through and pray diligently for them. Yes. Diligently pray for them. Don't want to be them. Just pray for them. They take a lot of smack that most people don't take. But all these things are happening. So what happens when we get into this world of collected, gathered information? In and of itself, it's not bad. I know some people think it's the greatest thing ever, and I say, look, you need to calm down, because what is happening is I'm watching people trade their own creativity. You're trading your own imagination, the screen that God placed inside of you to write on, your imagination. How do you think we built spaceships and cars and planes and all kinds? Where do you think that comes from? It comes from a wild imagination. If you cannot imagine it, it will not happen. God gave us this wild gift of imagination. What do you think happens when people sacrifice their imagination for something else? 350 million people in our country alone? What happens if you get 300 million of them to sacrifice and park their own imagination and be like, you know what? It's a lot easier to watch some reels. I want to see what they got going on. It's a lot easier to be entertained than it is to engage and think. Critical, hard thinking is work. And I've watched this now for years. People stopped thinking. Just drive down the road, you can tell what I'm saying is true. People stop thinking. Not just in everyday normal life, but thinking about deep things. If you meet people, it's so refreshing to me to meet people who are highly intelligent and who are not afraid to go deep and think and talk about ideas. That stuff fires me up because they're hard to find. What's easy to find nowadays is, oh, what brand of shoes are those? Oh, what's this? Oh, where'd you get your hair done? Oh, all this cheap, just useless temporary stuff that people occupy their space with, and people in general don't think and process and war in themselves to find the truth. Is this my thought? is this from the Lord or is this some crazy thing trying to bend and ruin my faith? One of my huge concerns is watching children growing up now, and they have unrestricted time on screens. You know, somebody is influencing them. What does the word say? When you get up and you're walking the street with your child, teach them the things of the Lord. When you sit down with them at the table, teach them the things of the Lord. There should be a constant interaction. And God forgive me, I did not do this as well as I could have and should have. I missed so many opportunities with my sons, and it grinds me to this day. It is my fault, not anybody else's. I watch this stuff happening. It's an electronic pacifier. Just here, just be quiet. Just whatever. I have important things to do. When the foundation of these children is being shaped by an outside influence that you have no control over. We have exchanged our responsibility for convenience, and I need some me time. And somebody is going to pay the price for those mistakes. Somebody, some generation is going to be caught up in this thing, and they won't even recognize it as being out of place because I've had this since I was two. And there's always a screen talking to me. There's always something interacting with me. And those kids, it's not a fault of their own. I'm telling you, we need to own this stuff as our responsibility. This is us who have dropped the ball big time in this area. And we're going to watch what happens with this crazy experiment of what happens when a screen raises a kid. I don't know, but I don't think it's good. I don't think it's God's plan. You're allowing somebody on the programming end to be influencing forever your child. And I'll bet if you know the heart of the people at the programming end, you would shut that thing off so hard and you would never allow it in your child's lap ever again. There is a nefarious undercurrent to so many things. It is for the heart. It is for the corruption to just bend and deconstruct Christianity down to nothing. History being deconstructed and ruined and perverted. All of these major things that have importance in the life of a Christian being torn down and reconstructed. And just here you go. I have had now too many encounters with Scamazon. My love for them, you will pick up that there's not much there. So I wrote this book on my experience in heaven. In the hardest season of my life, I felt the Lord push me to go and write. So we did. We produced it, printed it, all the things. Went to list it. As a kid, I would read. It says, in the last days, if you don't have this mark and blah, 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 you will not be able to buy or sell. And I kept thinking, that's pretty wild. I don't know if that's actually true. That seems like a stretch. How are you going to get the whole world to comply? I just don't get it. I don't quite understand. You know what I understand now? It's so simple. And people have agreed and walked willfully right into this environment that we're in now. I went to list this book, and they said, okay, it's up for review, because it was never listed before. Obviously, it's a new product, so they have to give you an ASIN number. So I applied for one. And they looked at it and said, sorry, that violates our community standards, blah, blah, blah. You're not eligible to do this. And so I asked, what in the world, why? I went back and forth. I spent countless hours with these monkeys, either in messaging their bots or with people or on the phone, and you get absolutely nowhere. So my editor, bless her dear heart, she's not a marketer, but she said, you know what, let me try, because they said the only person who can do this is the publisher or the manufacturer, whatever. So she tries. We have gone back and forth now countless times. The answer is the same. We see that this product violates our community standards, blah, 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 and basically it's not open for discussion anymore. They won't let me sell my product on their platform. I said, okay, well, there's good old eBay. Way back, eBay was the thing. I said, there's always a way somewhere. So I listed on eBay. I then tried to cross-link it and use Facebook as the means to drive people to the link on eBay. I did a paid promotion thing just to get some word out there. Facebook declined, and they shut down the ad and said, this violates our community standards, blah, 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 blah. I guarantee you, if I wrote a book today about the... if I wrote about our community of gay purple dinosaurs, they would not only invite it, they would publish it, and they would promote it for me. Somehow I have violated their standards in talking about heaven. And they will not sell it. Do you think I'm convinced that the guy that runs the keys will run the world? Mm-hmm. Those who run technology will dominate societies. And there is exactly nothing that you can do about it. Is this the most encouraging word you've ever heard? What are you going to do about it? What can you do? You know, one of the best verses says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, it's not a surprise. God knew exactly when he spoke your life into being that you would be alive today, right now, in this part of timeline of history. You would be living right now in your location with the people around you. He knew all of those details, and he put you here on purpose for right now. And in his wisdom, I believe he knows exactly the way walking through this jungle. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. He knew this was going to happen, and by design, he placed us here for right now, which tells me that he knows what he's doing, and he somehow is going to give us wisdom and understanding, and he's going to lead us right through the jungle. It doesn't matter what nefarious people do. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. It doesn't matter if he dominates all of commerce. At some point, God, by his Spirit, is going to lead you and I through this jungle. Until we are finished. Read the Word. Encourage your own soul. I tell you, it's hard to get into the Word when you are tired. It's hard to feed your soul when you're beat down. And I've watched a wearing down of the saints. I think it is in Daniel or Ezekiel, where it talks about the enemy comes in the last season to wear down the saints. I thought it was a localized problem for a while. And then I discovered, no, it's actually around the world. The connections that I have in other places, I'm hearing the exact same thing. There is a wearing down. There is a tiring. There is this heaviness that is on people. And I believe we are being pushed into compliance with all of these crazy, nefarious things. When I was a kid, they told me the little black stripe on the credit card is the mark of the beast. You better not get one. Don't touch it. Don't have nothing to do with it. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe that little stripe was the mark. I don't think the chip was the mark. They freaked out about that too. There's a lot of freak out that happens. Every time there's new technology and development, people, especially Christians, get really weird about things. Oh, they can freak out and just make something that's totally crazy. I think we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be walking with the Lord with some understanding about the day and the hour that we're living in. How are we going to be effective? How are we going to function if we are not having some understanding? I'm not saying we need to understand it all and know the whole thing. Nobody's going to get that. But walking in a way that we are not so discouraged that we set aside our assignment while we are down the rabbit hole looking at the next big conspiracy theory. I've watched Christians be some of the most gullible people when it comes to rabbit holes and conspiracies. Can I please vent for 1 minute and just tell you, please, as men of God, can we get our right minds back? Can we just stand on the Word of God and stop with the craziness? Like, there's a lot of wild things happening. That does not mean we need to fall for every little thing. Maybe your favorite voice and your favorite podcaster, maybe they're a bit of a moron, and maybe they're misleading you. And maybe everything that comes into you should be checked at the door, and you should ask the Lord, is this actually in agreement with what you're saying? Is this what you're saying? What do you think about this? Instead of just ingesting all of this information constantly, there's an overwhelming just input of information. Maybe we need to check that, shut the phone down, and say, Lord, what are you saying about this? This is easier to say than it is to do. But I believe it is critical for men especially, as watchmen of our homes, watchmen of our lives, watchmen of our cities, whatever region or realm God has placed you in charge of, to be aware of the hour that we live in, not to be in fear of it and to be panicking. That is not the point at all. What do you think the Christians had to live with back in the days of Rome, back in the days of this crazy stuff? What do you think the apostles lived with? That was some wild stuff. And the word says, you have not yet laid down your life to bloodshed for the gospel. Why are we afraid? Like, fear should not be, that is not the motivating factor of any of this information. It is quite the opposite. I want you to be encouraged and know that God knows exactly the hour that we live in. Yeah. He knows exactly the culture that we're faced with. He knows all of those things. It's not a surprise. And he somehow has trusted you and me to be alive today to walk through this season of time. Somehow he trusted us. I don't know why. Sometimes I don't even trust myself that much. I'm like, why? What were you thinking? Because probably a great time to die would have been like in the 80s. Life was pretty good. It'd be like, all right, bye-bye. You guys take it from here. But somehow he kept us here for this season. Older guys, can I provoke you for a bit? Like, you guys have seen so much change. I've seen a lot in my life, but not as much as you have. And all of these things, and we see another generation come along, and often the tendency is to be like, these little knuckleheads, I don't know that they're ever going to learn. Like, they're just, every generation is different, and it's easy to throw rocks at them and be like, you guys just don't get it. Can we please not be that way? Because the young guys need you. The young guys need you, old guys. Do you know what is so encouraging when old guys come up to me and just speak some truth? I used to think, old guys, you guys are out of touch. But you know what I learned? They're the smartest people in the room. They have seen the most, they've experienced the most. I really value that. And I believe it's been a distraction, a tactic of the enemy to create these divisions between generations. And the young guys say, you old guys, whatever, you don't know anything. And they whip out their device and boom, 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 boom. And they're so awesome with their technology. And the old guys are sitting there going, what just happened? The young guys need the old guys. We need your wisdom. You've walked with the Lord a long time. We need that discernment. We need that steady voice. We need that calm assurance. We need sometimes for old men. All you got to do is go up to a young guy and just say, you know what? I am proud of you. I see you're growing in your life. Do you know what that does to some young guy who's struggling and thinks they're failing? Just a couple words of life. You don't have to transform the whole world. Just a few words of life to say, I am proud of you. I see you're pressing into the kingdom. You're going places. You know what? Something really crazy is most of the older guys here have probably not often heard from their father or anybody in a generation beyond them, man, I'm so proud of you. You really are doing well. And I'm just so thankful I know you. You're a great guy. I'll bet most of you older guys didn't hear that a lot, did you? Am I wrong? I've observed stuff in the generation before me. They've lived through hard days. When you go through hard days, something happens, and sometimes emotionally you're just not really free. You've gone through tough stuff, and things change, and they happen in you. And then the next generation doesn't get affirmation the way that they really should have, and we look at the old guys and say, they're the ones that messed us up. That's why we need all these awesome counselors and therapists and stuff, because, oh, my dad this and my mom that. We need to stop that and get into the Word where it says, honor your father and your mother so that it may be well with you. You want it well with you? Stop throwing rocks at them. Just honor them. Of course, they're not perfect. Honor them so it can be well with you and you can have a long life on the earth. There are so many things that tie into where I feel like a boiling pot, and there's just things I could go 100 directions with this right now. It is critical that our old men speak life to the young, and that young guys, that we do not dishonor and disrespect the old guys. We need them. And you don't see yourself oftentimes as an effective voice or as any person of influence. Instead, most of the time, we belittle ourselves and the gift that God has given us, and we don't function in the capacity, whatever level that is, because we are belittling ourselves and we are diminishing the gift of God in us. Do you know how great would it be if the Lord just gave you a couple words? And oftentimes it happens at meetings or at church or whatever, but I've learned that it happens a lot out in the real world too. If he's able to get my attention, he'll speak things to me. The dangerous thing about hearing the voice of the Lord is now you're responsible for what you've heard. And if you disobey him, now your conscience is messed up. You know what I believe about you, Scott? You have a lot of deep things to say. You think a lot of things through. And there is a wealth of information and understanding inside of you. But there's been some really tough words that have come against you. I don't know by who or when. And it has really hurt you. And sometimes that door just stays shut. And even though you have, I'm not saying it's like you're always right or have the answer. You do have a lot of knowledge and a lot of insight into things. And you don't release it to protect yourself because it hurts. And I just want to ask you to please talk to people. If the Lord opens that door, you don't have to try to prove anything, but you really have a gift. And your words are powerful. And you are more valuable to the kingdom than you think. And how I wish we would never get hurt by people. But it happens. Please don't let it stop you from helping other people. The Lord's got you. There's a lot in you. And I pray that he opens those doors and gives you those opportunities and that you take them. And that there's a new confidence that gets on you. Not so confident in yourself, but confident that he's got you. And that you are an instrument of his. How are we going to live effectively in a day when there's so much division? Like, I'm watching stuff happen that I don't know, man. Our country is on fire. The world's on fire. There's a lot of people, there's every reason to hate. And all you have to do is say one little thing and bam, here they come. They're after you. And what it does is it takes away, I'll just tell you for me, I've gone very quiet. I have gone very quiet for a while. Because you know what I don't like? I don't like hassle. I don't like chaos. I don't need you up in my grill ripping on me for something. If you think I'm a nutcase and you don't agree with anything I say, I bless you and I love you and I want you to know the Lord so deeply because I fully want to see every person in heaven one day. So I don't care what you necessarily think. I want us to get along, but man, more than that, I want you to know Jesus. But I've gone quiet. I don't like the racket. I don't like the fuss. I don't like the attention. And I am convicted that that is not always the right approach. Sometimes it is worth the beatings that we take if it helps one person get a hold of some truth and maybe that seed brings life. I think if it's happened to me, it's happened to a lot of people that we've been suppressed and pushed down and silenced, and we watch the crazies, and we see stuff on the news, and it seems like the whole world has gone mad, and nobody wants that trash in their life. I don't need that. And the natural response is, let me become very small and just squeak out through life and see it in the sweet by and by. I don't want to make any noise while I'm here because it's too much. And I'm here to challenge myself and all of you We don't need to make noise for the sake of making noise. There's enough of that. But when the truth is contested and is being perverted, when there are things in our dominion, it is not okay for us to take our foot off the gas and just say, yeah, you know what, somebody else is going to get that. I'm going to watch over here, and you guys deal with that. This section of the wall, this is mine. I'll watch here. Until there's a pop-up here, and it's like, you know what, you guys over here, you get that. I'm going to come, I'll watch this. And we try to shift ourselves out of responsibility when, if you break it down, what does that word even mean? If you see the problem and you have the ability to respond, it is your responsibility. If you have the ability to respond, it actually becomes your problem. And if I negate that, if I just walk away from that, what makes me think that God's going to trust me with some great spiritual authority? Oh, Lord, I'm anointed to go to the nations and conquer the whole world. Yes, anoint me. And he's going, what is wrong with you? I asked you to watch the door of your own home, and you allow this stuff in your home. You can't even keep that right. What makes you think I'm going to give you the keys to the whole kingdom? Ah, I don't like this message any better than you do. I wish it was easy and fun and all the things. That's way more fun. But the truth is, if I have a responsibility, it actually is within my authority to deal with. It becomes my responsibility. It is not a light thing to be a watchman. And I believe so much has fallen off of the shoulders of men. We have watched men become such sissified, pushed down, and mocked in the last 30 years that I've been paying attention to this. It is a disgraceful thing. And I'll tell you, men, we are not as stupid as they would like you to believe. If you're a man of God, that means you are the highest level of authority walking the face of the earth right now, and it is time that we take that authority seriously, not to dominate and rule with an iron fist, but to dominate in our sphere of influence, the things spiritually that I can control, that is my responsibility. Those things relationally that I can control. What did Paul say? As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. You can't always live peaceably with a knucklehead. Sometimes they just need a little therapy, boom, boom, boom. And you would like to help them, but it's not your job. So as much as you're able, live at peace with them. If you're not able, don't waste your time with all this monkey business. Do what God has assigned you to do, and do it with confidence, knowing that he has assigned you with authority to your sphere of influence. These people that come and lead worship in this house every week have a different realm of authority and influence than anyone else. I'm not saying this to elevate them. I'm telling you this because I know by experience, when you are a worshiper, the most important thing that happens in this house is when people genuinely worship the Lord. A pastor is vitally, critically important, but what happens in worship is the highest importance in my understanding. Do you think these people live an easy life? I can tell you they don't. I can tell you the walk that these people face is different. You're not just checking into work at Publix you have down here. I guess I'm the cashier today. How much resistance do you have being the cashier at Publix? Hi, how are you? Beep, 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 boom. Thank you. Bye. Hi, how are you? There's some personal interaction, but there is very little spiritual attention to that situation. When you are causing somebody else to go deep and engage and find this presence of the Lord, there is an assignment of hatred against your life. Their realm of influence is different, which means their realm of authority is different, which means that they will experience different things than the average person. So much of what we have watched develop in church culture has been an idolizing of a pastor, an idolizing of worship, an idolizing of things, instead of all committing to be on our face with the Lord, saying, God, please don't let this one wipe out. Don't let them get caught up in anything foolish that is designed to take them out. let them know you and know you deeply, and let them take people even deeper into your presence, and let them encounter you in ways that we have not known you yet. They fight in a different sphere. Same as when you are single, you have one set of battles. When you are married, it changes. And when you grow a family, it changes and it changes. God hasn't called me to fight everyone's battle. He hasn't called me to do your job. He's called me to start some fires. And sometimes those get a little hard. It takes a little... and the sparks flying like, okay, a little hot. I want to provoke you. If you're tired, it's okay. You're not alone. You're not the only person dragging your tail through life. If you're tired and beat down, you're discouraged, maybe. If you're not, then don't go there. I'm not promoting this as a good place to be. I'm saying if you are, don't give up your hope. Hope deferred makes your heart sick. You need hope while you're here. You won't need it in heaven. You'll need it here. If you don't have it here, you're going to be a little beat down. When we're constantly bombarded with news and with just the chaos of the world, it's easy to let our hope diminish. And what do you have left? Say, well, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I'm right there. Today is fine, honestly. Let's go. But until then, until it is the right time, the fullness of time, we need to stay encouraged. And sometimes it is as simple as out of your own season of suffering, out of your own season of lack, and when it feels like the Lord has left the planet, knowing and believing in confidence that He is still in me, He's still doing a good work, and what He wants to do is deposit another work in my brother and just speak a couple words to maybe stir up some faith again and say, you know what, we are not only going to just barely make it, we are going to make it in great victory. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Overcomers, yes. By the blood of the Lamb, yes, and the word of our testimony. And sometimes our testimony is such that it provokes somebody else to win and to overcome. I think it was you that said something like, everybody wants to be strong, but nobody likes to be sore. Oh, that is so true. I want to be some big, buff, strong dude, you know, but that gym, I hate the gym. No, thank you. I hate that stuff. It hurts to be disciplined. It hurts to go and stress yourself out. It requires resistance. But somewhere in the process, there's a strength that comes when you go through difficult seasons. I believe we're watching men be raised up in these days of uncertainty, these days of difficulty, these days of where you don't know, you don't have the answer. There is a depth coming into your life. There's a strength coming into your life that we need for the next season, or it would not be happening. The enemy has no interest in you being strong. He wants to take you out. And I assure you, if you make it through the season when he is trying to take you out, you will come out stronger. And God allows these seasons of testing and stress because he knows on the other side what he has to work with. When I come out of this fire, I'm going to be more wise than I was before. I'm going to be sharper than I ever was before. I'm going to have more strength and endurance than I've ever had before. Can I share with you just one testimony? When do we quit here? Ah, man. Okay. I didn't plan any of these things, but I feel it on me. We all work with money. Money is something that you will never escape from here on the earth. Jesus talked about it a lot. Oftentimes, pastors get really weird about it, or they just avoid it altogether. And I've decided to just let it be normal because we need money like we need air. Prove me wrong. I've had very religious people, we just trust the Lord. Stop with your nonsense. Yes, we trust the Lord. Every good thing comes from him. But at the end of the day, I got bills to pay with my name on it. I know it all comes from him. I'm not stressing out about that. What I'm saying is it's a daily thing. It's not something super spiritual. It's not something to avoid. We need to be comfortable with it. Years ago, I was so broke. I mean broke to the point it's embarrassing. I made a lot of money. But I was a deceitful little dude. And the more I made, the more it disappeared. It was so aggravating. I could make a lot of money. And then, I don't know what happened, it disappeared. And so I'd go make more, and it kept disappearing. I was broke. I was not just broke financially, I was broke as a person. I was so broken.
I didn't understand the purpose of it. I didn't understand what we're here for. I was just a greedy little dude. I'll just tell you the truth. I was a mess. And so finally the Lord deals with your heart, and I got born again, and all these things, wonderful things happened. And we still have problems. And my problems were very small. Like, I don't know, $500, kind of small. And you stress out. You're like, oh, Jesus, I'm done. I don't have it. It's gone. I do not have. This is my problem. And somehow, something comes out of nowhere. I know now that he has all these things already lined up. It's awesome. Living in that place of faith and stretching is awesome. Terrifying, but awesome. And boom, problem solved. And I never saw it coming. I'm like, that was wild. I know that was you. Thank you. I'll never doubt you again. Oh, thank you for delivering me. That was just amazing. And a little bit of time goes by, and now your problem is $1,000. And you're like, ooh, oh, that actually, this Lord, this time I didn't make the best move. Help. I'm stuck. And he delivers me again. And then it's like 5,000, and I get into business doing things. And then I'm up against 50,000. I had a problem. I made a purchase that I shouldn't have made, probably, and I would have been okay if I hadn't, but I'm like, oh, Jesus. It's this guy again. I know I've been here before. We've been down this road. I apologize. That was stupid, and I need help. And the clock is ticking, and nothing's happening. And I go, well, you helped me here, and here, and here, and here. I know it was never this big, but I think you can still easily do this. And it was just very elementary faith. I was just growing and like, if you can do this, I think you can do this. Boom. Somehow, I don't know what the whole scenario was. He delivered me. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I will never again doubt you. I have seen enough of you now that my faith is full. I'm good to go. Thank you. You don't owe me anything ever. I'm so convinced of who you are. What a dumb thing to say. Life goes on. Bigger things happen. It always gets bigger and more intense. I want my tiny battles back. Where's my $500 problem? Let me just fight this guy. Because this guy now, get out of my way. Even some of these. Every time I have gone through these intense scenarios, I see God deliver me. And every time I have the same response. You are so awesome. Thank you. I will never doubt you again. That this time, like for real, my faith is strong. I'll walk through anything now. This is amazing. And the next thing comes and I'm back going, oh, Jesus. I know I said that back here, but this was way smaller. And now it's this. And I actually really need your help. And if you don't, then we're going to die. And that's just the way it is. The giants get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know what happens, though? Your heart gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And one day you look your enemy in the eye and you say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who comes to defy the armies of the living God? Today I will strike you down and cut off your head. That doesn't happen just in an instant. That takes conditioning and strengthening and trusting the Lord and being stretched beyond your capacity to where you actually, you want to give up. I'm telling you, men, you cannot give up. People are watching your life. They're counting on you. You're inspiring people you don't even know. And the enemy tells you you're worthless. You're not getting it right. Everybody else is getting it right, but not you. You're actually pretty terrible at what you do. The devil is a liar. There are people watching your life. They're watching you and admiring what you're doing, and they're wishing and asking God they could have what you have and be having that strength to walk in. The thing that you think you're so weak in is actually an admirable thing. People are acknowledging that before the Lord. Isn't that something? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
Men, we need to be watchmen, serious watchmen. And I think if we take our calling and our assignment seriously, we have to be careful what we focus on and what we are watching. If you find anyone walking through these doors into this place, and the Lord puts that check in your spirit, you better get serious about praying. Because the tactics of the enemy, they haven't changed. Sometimes he will send someone on assignment just to drop the bomb and run and watch what happens. If the Lord puts a check in your spirit, you better take very careful attention to that and you better pray. And if you hear slander and gossip against the man of God or against anybody who is in this house in any form of leadership or attendance, if you hear gossip of any kind, it is your responsibility to say that is not who this guy is, that is not who she is, and we're not talking like that up in here. That's my sister. That's my brother. That's my dad. And you can apologize right now or hit the road. We're not used to tough words in church. We're supposed to be so nice. I present to you that niceness will get you killed. What's the point of being a watchman? You're not watching for the nice things. You're watching for the things sent on assignment that are coming to tear down the people and the house of the Lord. It is important that we are vicious against what is evil and soft and tender to those things that are broken and hurting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I sometimes can come across real rough, and that's, I'm not saying be mean to people. I'm saying be so attentive to what is happening in your realm of influence that you are not afraid to take viciously those things that the enemy brings and ship them out the door. They are sent to destroy and divide, and it is the plan of the devil. Whose responsibility is it? Oh, thank God we have the pastor. He's got it. He knows everything, and he knows everybody and all the things. No, that's not true. Every one of us have a responsibility to guard the gates. Guard the gates of your mind, guard the gates of your home, guard the gates of your family, guard the gates of your schools, guard the gates of your business, guard the gates of your relationships, and guard the gates of this house. This community needs this place to thrive. It needs it to be a place that's solid so that any broken person can come up in here and find Jesus and be restored to wholeness in life and get radically born again. This house needs to exist for this community, and it is the plan of the enemy to defile and destroy what's going on, and it is our responsibility to stop those things and not agree with them. I am tired of seeing devastation happen in the body of Christ. It's not from God at all. It's wicked. And I believe a lot of that responsibility comes down to small decisions. And you're willing to say, you know what? On my watch, we're not actually having this conversation because it's destroying my brother. We're not having this conversation because it isn't right. I'm honoring. And that doesn't fit into my narrative. It's hard to face people and to push back against that stuff, but it is necessary and required. Have each other's back. Be a little more forward-thinking. Think a few years down the road when you are in glory. I hope that you are there. And imagine what happens when the guy you are just destroying and defiling or allowing that to happen with your words shows up. Like, oh, haha, I'll be out back. You guys carry on. No, there's no such thing. You are going to be faced with every person that is there. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe we should think forward far enough to imagine even the broken. Maybe there is a knucklehead in your circle. Maybe they do need prayer and deliverance. Maybe all these things are true. But maybe we should imagine them far enough ahead to be seated with Christ in heaven that we will sacrifice our own life and our existence to propel them into the kingdom instead of defile and belittle them and tear them down. Maybe that's the assignment of a watchman. Maybe we've laid down our assignment, thinking that we're keeping peace, when in reality we're just given a good inroad to a very crafty and sly enemy. Your assignment doesn't just go away. As a man, you will be assigned to this thing for the rest of your life. I thought maybe when you get older, it'd be easier. I've asked old guys, does it ever actually get easy? And they say the worst thing. They're like, no, it gets harder. Like, what are you talking about gets harder? That's not the answer I want at all. I've had enough hard. I would like maybe a season or 20 more seasons of good. I would like it easy. Apparently, that's not the way that it works. It gets harder. You have bigger mountains to climb. It never goes away. You have peace. And how much wisdom, and if the battles that you have fought, I can learn from. Amen. It's so encouraging. I'm telling you, older guys, we need you. Not only do we need you, we honor you and we want your input in our lives. Is this too much? Like, is everybody okay? I feel like I barely scratched the surface of what I wanted to give, but time is my enemy. Are you okay if I just deliver a couple things yet and then we'll see what happens? I can't remember your name. The guy in the hat that prayed up here. What's your name? What? Matt?
Mac.
Mac. I bless the Lord that he called you and that you responded. Do you know Mac? I don't know anything about you in the natural. But I know that God has yet to make his first mistake. And he will not start that business with you. What he has called you to, he has set you apart from some things. And I believe you're taking some heat and some criticism and some mockery and some things from people. And it's okay. Not only is it okay, it is an affirmation that you are heading in the right direction. When there are broken things that are mocking you, be exceedingly glad. I'm telling you, you keep walking with the Lord and you keep pursuing him. There is an influence and an impact that you probably won't see right away. It's probably going to be some distance and some time. Walk away from whatever is holding you back. You don't have to be vicious about it or mean. Simply step into and keep walking with the Lord. Because what's going to happen is, by design, people will keep watching your life even from a distance. And you will minister to people even from a distance, and you don't know what you're doing. But they will be watching, and they'll be test-driving your faith, going, that's what he says, and I know that's what he's doing, but I don't know if it's real. There is a new culture that you will establish, not just for yourself. You will establish a new culture and a new, it's like you're establishing a new lineage. That God, if you keep walking with him, is going to set things in order in your life, and it will do multiple things. It will reveal God to people around you, but it will also satisfy you in ways you had no idea you wanted to be satisfied. And it is going to inspire and encourage and bring people into the kingdom. Some you will meet and know, and some you will never see until you're in heaven. Don't you be discouraged. And don't count yourself out, and don't second guess what God is wanting to do with you. Separation and some of those tensions and things that go on, they are difficult, and they're very difficult. God is not making any mistakes with you in your life. He's faithful and he's going to walk with you. And you watch and see. Listen to the sound of the voice of the Lord as he speaks to you, and let him establish the culture of heaven in your own life. Just enjoy it. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. Just walk with the Lord. Just walk with him. I wish I could tell you how I really feel about you. He is crazy about you. Jesus is excited about you. He is excited about you. And he's got you. Please don't you ever quit. Please don't you quit. Because I'm not saying this to put pressure on you. Don't hear me say that. I'm saying this to encourage you. You have more impact in society than you imagine. And please don't hear it as pressure. It is just the reality of what it is. The Lord's got you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you're good, and we love you, and I thank you for every good thing that you're doing in this house. I pray that you will preserve this house of worship, that every leader who is assigned here, you will preserve them and walk with them deeply and lead them to fresh water, lead them to fresh bread, lead them, Lord, in places they have not yet walked, that you will lead them faithfully, and that those that come here will not come to be entertained. They will come to find you. God, I pray protection over this house, that any nefarious plan of the enemy is struck down before it can access anywhere on this property, and that your angels that you've assigned here will be fully awake and equipped, and that the watchmen you have assigned here will be awake and aware and take their assignments seriously with you. Lord, that the broken can find you and be whole, that the lost can find you and be found, that every dead thing that you want to raise to life will come to life. Black hair guy right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you. I saw you earlier in some institution. And I don't know what it was. But I saw you going from room to room to room. And it appeared to me that you thought you were going to be stuck there, and there was no way out of it. And almost like this desperation or this need to flee was rising up in you. And then I believe this is from the Lord. If anything I say to you is not accurate or does not jive well, then I have made a mistake. The Lord doesn't. I believe this is from him. What I saw is how you think, and you're highly intelligent, but you compartmentalize things. And you have a room for this way of thinking and a room for these thoughts and a room for these things. And it's very... separated, but highly intelligent. And there are people that don't understand you as a person and how you think. And there's been some... Lord, help me to say things in a way that he can process and understand this well. Not everybody understands you. And it's okay. The one who made you, he will meet you in every place that you go. In those places that other people can't follow you, the Lord is there. In those places that your mind has access to, that other people would be frustrated with you and say you're maybe
out there.
Jesus knows exactly how you're made. And I believe that what he's given you with experience and with his presence walking you through these seasons is equipping you to deposit accurate information. Almost like you're some kind of teacher. I'm not appointing you to teach this house. I'm not doing anything crazy. What I'm saying is the Lord, I believe, has hooked you up in a way to understand things and break it down and to teach things. And you're good at it. You're really good at it. Be careful what you teach, because what you teach really matters. It might seem like a light or an easy thing in the moment, but what you teach matters. So make sure that what you're teaching is true and from the Lord. Does this make sense to you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then keep walking with the Lord. Gone through seasons and seen things. Transition and moving and all the things. Just there's a lot going on. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep walking with him. And he's going to show you exactly how to be an effective watchman. He's going to show you exactly how to establish things, to bring order into areas that are still, they feel loose or whatever is not quite functional the way that you see it should be. The Lord is gracious and kind, and I believe he is continuing to bring order into your life. As you say yes to him, his revelation is going to keep bringing order. And it will bring some freedom to you. I'm not saying you're bound up. Don't hear me say things I'm not. What I see is just some things that are taking more attention from you than it should. And the Lord is going to give you insight how to put order there so that it's not robbing you of your energy. And you can actually do things that you want to do greater for the kingdom than what you find yourself having to navigate through step at a time. God is with you. And there are times I have to discern what is okay to say and what is not okay to say. What I know is God knows, and he's got you. He's got you, and you can trust him, and he's gonna show off to you some pretty great things, and I'll let him do that. And sometimes I like to ruin the surprise, and I don't want to be that guy. Glory to God. Guy in the jacket. Are you married? Is there somebody that you are concerned about, a lady? Is there a woman that you know that you are carrying a concern for, like you're worried about? Okay, praise God. Good. No worries. Don't be concerned then. That was... Thank you, Lord. The things that you face, don't ever be concerned. You're born again? Yeah. He's got you. And he's got you very well. No, I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not avoiding you. I'm avoiding getting myself in trouble. God loves you. And he knows what he's doing. And just keep walking with him. I don't know what you all were expecting. I don't even know what I was expecting other than for the Lord to show up. I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that nothing I said, I want to give a few minutes just for some clarity. Is there anything I said to you that you would say is way off or that needs clarified or that is causing any kind of angst or fear? Because that is not why I came. Is there something I'm just telling you I'm wide open? Questions? Don't scare me. And even if you have a question, that doesn't guarantee I have an answer. I just want you to know that you are not alone. We walk through hard things sometimes. We walk through great things sometimes. And if we focus too much on the difficult, I think sometimes the great seasons are upon us and halfway's passed before we wake up and realize that we're in a good season. So no matter where you are right now, can we just pray and agree for the Lord to keep our eyes open to understand the season that we're in? Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that in your wisdom, you have assigned us to the earth for this season, for this hour, for this time in history. And I pray that you will give us insight to know the hour that we are in. I pray that you will grace us to not miss the assignments you have appointed us to, that we will not miss for any reason the fullness of your purpose that you have spoken over our lives, that we will not be caught up in any foolish thing that will take away from or distract from us bringing you a full measure of glory. Whatever glory you've placed in our lives, Lord, that we bring it back to you in full measure, whatever that looks like, that we will not be the ones in the weeds wasting our time with things that are not important, but that you will cause us to be sharp and to be attentive to our assignment as watchmen, Lord. I pray that you will light our hearts up again on fire, that we will live with purpose, that we will live with understanding, that we will agree with your anointing, that we'll agree with your plans, God, and take seriously our responsibilities, that we'll take seriously and embrace our assignments. Lord, that there is no lack in your house, that there is no broken thing that is not repaired, that there is no damage to your people that could have been avoided if we had been in our right place. I pray that you will give us an urgency to know the day and the hour that we live in. I pray, God, for a deep discernment to know the spirit that is driving the thing that we are faced with, that we not find ourselves getting caught in any trap or nefarious thing by a crafty enemy or by any kind of technological thing that we're not familiar with, that you will protect our elderly from falling into scams and traps and protect our young from falling into foolishness and into sexual bondage through these means that are so accessible, that you will protect all of us in the middle age, that as we walk, that we're not pursuing things that are outside of your purpose and your will, that you will preserve us and keep us well and focused walking with you, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you that we can trust you. That the name of your throne is faithful and true. And you will never change. God, I pray that you will impart to us today a stronger and a deeper confidence in who you are, in your word, in your timing. That this fire will never be extinguished. That it only spreads, and that it spreads according to your time and your purpose. In Jesus' name, I say thank you, Lord. Amen. How the Lord has done a good thing in your life. It's awesome. And he moves from one glory to another, and I believe what he has done in your life has been a display of his goodness. And I believe what he wants to continue to do in your life will be multiplied and multiplied. I'm not suggesting that you're just going to walk down easy street. I'm suggesting that as you walk, you're going to experience and taste the deep things and the blessing of the Lord, and you will find those things he has hidden for you to find. He has not hidden them from you. He has hidden them for you. And as you walk with him, you're like, Lord, what about this? Where is this? And he will show you a new thing, and it'll just keep coming. And he is faithful, and he's got you. And those questions that were against you, they're all foolish. God's got you, and he's got you very well. He loves you. I celebrate what he's done in your life and what he will do. Yeah, thank you for having me. Bless you.